The Rangers postpone their 100th loss. They split a series in Baltimore. They head home for their final homestand of the 2021 season. And I'm here to break it all down on this episode of Locked On Rangers.
You are Locked On Rangers, your daily Texas Rangers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
It is Monday, September 27th. The Rangers are 57-99, 7 games out of the first two picks, a game and a half ahead of the Pirates for the third pick. They've got the third pick. That's where they're sitting. I'm your host, Bryce Paddock. This is Locked On Rangers, your team every day. Thank you for making us your first listen of the day. Really enjoyed being with you all this season. It's been a tough season for the Rangers, and this is the final week of it. The final week of the season is finally here. The Rangers have 6 games left. They got 3 games against the Angels, 3 games against Cleveland, the last year of them being called the Indians. They will be the Guardians next year. And this is the last off day of the season. It's here. It has, I want to say, flown by. I want to say that. It hasn't. It's been a rough year. But this is a weird weekend, and I feel honestly a little bit gross for watching all 4 games of that series against in just the next to last week of baseball. And here I am, all these pennant races, all these pennant chases, there's college football, there was all kinds of other stuff going on. And what am I doing? Nope, I'm going to watch 200 lost teams play each other. One of them is going to try and not lose 100 games during this series. It'll happen eventually. I mean, they have to go 6-0 over their final games to make that happen. And if they do that, I'm gonna be mad. I want 100 losses. Just, we know this has been 100 loss bad season. Just go ahead, own it, lean into it. It's been a while since you've had 100 losses, but you have been that bad this year. It's okay. You have. We watched it. We saw it. We saw all of it. Even if you won the last 6 games, well, no, you were still that bad. Bad enough to do that. And there's really no reason other than a little bit of pride to win these last 6 games. I mean, they're not going to. It's fine. Knock on wood. But if they do that, then they're probably going to end up with the 4th pick as opposed to the 3rd pick, which, I don't know, it could be a big deal come next year. If they get the 4th pick instead of the 3rd pick and they miss out on Chase Young, I'm going to be upset. I'm going to be real upset. Not going to lie. They were shut out 3-0 on Thursday's game. It did not go well so badly. In fact, I put a bag over my head to make a video about it. That's about how bad this stupid team was. It made me angry. They got shut out by a guy who had a 7.66 ERA at the end of this game. 5 innings of shutout baseball from Lowther. Not a guy who was particularly great. Then Bowen comes in. He's got a 9.90 ERA. Shuts the Rangers out for an inning and a third. And they just completely poo-poo and waste Glenn Otto's really solid start. You know, he went 5 innings. He only allowed 2 runs, only walked 1, struck out 7. Like, looked real solid. Mike Fulthamish came in, honestly, real solid. Real solid. 3 strikeouts and 2 innings of shutout work. Just allowed the 1 base runner, which is a hit. Joe Barlow gave up his first home run of his major league career. Gonna happen. Still had a 1.75 ERA after that. The offense did nothing, absolutely nothing. Willie Calhoun came in and got a hit, but literally just 5 singles were all they could manage. 4 walks as well. The only people who got on base twice were Nathaniel Lowe and Nick Solek, who each reached on a hit and a walk. Nobody had a multi-hit game. No, because why would they do that? Why would they do that? They wouldn't. So let's move on to the Friday game. Looking at this, it was a big offensive outburst for the Rangers. They dropped a couple of runs in the top of the first inning, and then a really not great bottom of the second inning for Spencer Howard. But he went 4 innings. He went 4 innings. He didn't walk anybody. Did give up a home run. That wasn't great. It was to Cedric Mullins, who, you know, that was his 30th home run of the season, which made him the first Oriole in franchise history to have a 30 home run, 30 stolen base season. So, like, that's fine. I'll let that happen. I mean, not that I really have a choice in it, but it's fine by me that happened. He also pitched four innings. Like I said, that was a big deal. He hasn't pitched four innings since he has been with Texas. He has pitched 2 1/3, 3 2, 2 1/3, 3 and now 4. It's not just that he threw that many innings, and it's about the number of pitches that he threw. He did strike out 4. He gave up the home run, like I said. But the pitches he threw, 66 pitches, 45 of those were for strikes, not 55. That would have been a lot. And it wasn't just that he was throwing them. It's that he kept his velocity even in the fourth inning. That is the thing that the Rangers are looking for. That is really the most important thing. In his third to last pitch of the night, he threw a 95.3 mile an hour four seamer. That is maintaining the velocity. That is about where he's at. That is where he's kind of peaking. And so seeing him do that, keep that velocity, is what you want from this guy. This is the whole reason they got him. They knew that he had this potential to be an actual legitimate starter. And they want to stretch him out. So you got to stretch him out. You got to give him some innings, you know, you got to let him run, let it eat for a little bit. I think we might get one more Spencer Howard start this season. We might, I'm not exactly sure about that, but, it just kind of depends on how long they're going to let him go. I would assume it's going to be about the same, maybe 3 to 4 innings, around 60 pitches, I think. I don't know if they'll let him go 66 like he did in this one, but I don't know. We'll wait and see. The rotation is set through, I believe it's Friday. Let's see. Let's just go through what this rotation is going to look like for this series against the Angels. It's going to be AJ Lexi on Tuesday, Taylor Hearn in what will almost assuredly be his final start of the season on Wednesday. Then we got Thursday, Glenn Otta will be there for what is definitely his last start, and TBD on Friday. So I think we'll see Dane Dunning on Friday. Saturday, we might see another start, the final start of this season for Spencer Howard. But I don't know. The numbers haven't been super impressive with Spencer Howard, but again, we're not looking at the overall numbers. We're looking at very specific numbers. That is what's important. It's important to keep his velocity, to make sure his pitch selection is good, make sure that he is lasting through these innings and maintaining that velocity and not just completely falling off a cliff. That is what's important. That is more important than if he allows a bunch of hits or a bunch of walks. You'd like to see the command be solid. Granted, the last outing before that against the White Sox, he went 3 innings, only allowed 1 hit, but did walk 3, didn't allow a run, and struck out 3. So, I don't know. It's a mixed bag with him. It's a lot of wait and see. He is still 25. He turns 26 next year towards the end of July. So, he's a guy with a lot of potential and a lot of upside. And it sucked seeing Hans Kraus make his Major League debut in a uniform that wasn't the Rangers, but good on him. He made his debut this weekend with the Phillies, went 3 innings and did start the game. So good for him. He allowed a home run on his first pitch that he threw in the big leagues was a home run. But he settled down after that, and his slider looked really nasty, because his slider is really nasty. So congratulations to Hans Kraus. Hope y'all enjoy him. Also, Kyle Gibson hit his first major league home run as a pitcher in Philly. Jose Trevino said he was happy for him, but also he said he's going to never hear the end of it because he's going to keep talking. And so, of course, Jose Trevino would eventually hit a home run this weekend as well. So maybe he had some smack to talk back to Kyle Gibson. But we're going to take a quick break and come back, look a little bit more at this weekend series, at a little trend with Nathaniel Lowe, and what we're looking forward to, what I'm looking forward to for the rest of this short season coming up right after this. This episode is brought to you by DirecTV Stream. Does this sound familiar? You got one device to let you catch the game live. Another lets you stream your favorite shows. You're watching sports highlights on your phone. You got your neighbor's best friend login for the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all the entertainment you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. It means no more juggling remotes, no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part, there's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion. Get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. This episode is also brought to you by GetUpside. My name is Bryce, host of the Locked On Rangers podcast, with an incredible app everybody needs to buy, everybody who buys gas needs to know about. Get Upside. My listeners are making up to 25 cents for every gallon of gas every time they fill up. Just download the free Get Upside app in the App Store or Google Play right now. Use promo code baseball and get a bonus 25 cents per gallon on your first fill up. That's up to 50 cents cash back. Don't pay full price at the pump anymore. Get cash back using Get Upside. Just download the app for free. Use promo code baseball and get up to 50 cents per gallon cash back on your first tank. So you can cash out anytime to your bank, PayPal, or an e-gift card for Amazon or other brands. Just download the free Get Upside app. Use promo code baseball to get up to 50 cents gallon cash back on your first tank. That's code baseball. Now, I want to look back a little bit more at that game. Spencer Howard was the big story in this one, but the Rangers offense was really humming in this one. A big offensive day for the Rangers. Nathaniel Lowe had his 16th home run of the season in the first inning. Has been, you know, swinging a little bit more aggressively lately. And, you know, I've really loved seeing that. I've really, really loved seeing him be more aggressive, take some big hacks. We had a three-hit game from two different Rangers. Isaiah Kiner-Falefa had a three-hit game. Also, Adolis Garcia had a three-hit game. Nick Solak had his 18th double of the season. Adolis Garcia, one of those three hits, was his 25th double of the season. Really solid game for him there. Nathaniel Lowe reached base three times, had a multi-hit game. He had that home run, like I said. A two-run shot, another single, and a walk. A really great day for him. Nick Solak also reached base three times. He had that double, a single, and a walk. Big game for him. DJ Peters had his first triple of the season. Also had a single, an RBI, and a run. Just big day for the Rangers. It five runs in the top of the ninth inning. That was about as ghastly of a bullpen day as you can see for a team. It was just, it, things did not go well for them. Wells came in and allowed one hit, and that runner ended up scoring. Green came in, got the blown save and the loss. He only got one out, and the other four batters that he faced all reached base. Handhold was able to come in and finally close things out in the top of the ninth, but only after the Rangers were able to get five runs. Yeah, they went into the ninth inning. They were down 3-5. They dropped five runs on the Orioles. They were able to pull out their very good closer in Joe Barlow. He comes in, works a scoreless ninth inning, only allows one walk, strikes out one. Josh Spores was able to hold it down in the pen, only allowed one run in his one inning. Big day for Derek Anderson. Three shutout innings for him in relief. Really did a good job of keeping the Rangers in this game. And just a big day for pretty much everybody at the plate. Love what I saw from them. Love to see them rally. And it's just been really encouraging. And I have loved what I've seen from Isaiah Kiner-Falefa the last 15 games. It has been really solid. In 62 at-bats, he has got he's batting 371, an on-base of 400, slugging 387, which, you know, that's about the slugging percentage he gets. Still hasn't had a home run in his last 30 games. I'm thinking that seven home runs is what he's going to be stuck on. He might get one more. He might get one more in the final six games. But that Rangers Park plays big, and he is not exactly what you would call a big slugger. But, you know, he is really come back on. The walk rate has increased a little bit, not to the point where I would like it, but it's still getting better. And, you know, if you're hitting 309 over your last 30 games with an on-base of 360, that'll play. That'll play with the defense he's got. And I just need to see more of it. I like to see it against teams that are half decent, which, you know, the Angels are half decent. That's about how good they are. Same with Cleveland. They're both about half decent. So if he can keep hitting well to finish out the season on a strong note, I really like his chances to be the everyday starting shortstop for the Texas Rangers in 2022. He's a good kid. He's a good clubhouse guy, fantastic defender. The question has always been his bat, and it's looking like it's coming around a little bit. And if he can just do this consistently, then I would be very encouraged from that standpoint this year. Right now, his on base for the season is 311. His OPS is still under 700 at 667, hitting 272. So just like to see a little bit more. He does have 20 stolen bases on the season. He's gotten back to that a little bit. I have liked that. He is 4 stolen bases in his last 15 games, 1 in his last 7. So maybe pick that up just a little bit, IKF, just a little bit. You got to keep on getting on base, keep being aggressive on the base pass. That's part of what makes him such a good player for the Texas Rangers. Now, I'm going to take another quick break and come back and look at the final games of this series, what Nathaniel Lowe has been doing lately that makes me a little encouraged, and just a little bit more look ahead at this series against the Angels. Brad, this is word for sponsors. This episode is brought to you by Built Bar. You know that Built Bar has so many delicious flavors? There's something for everyone. When you talk to a Built Bar fan, they're definitely passionate about the favorite. They just sent me a box of cookies and cream, cookie dough. But the cookies and cream is solid as well. You know, they've got German chocolate. They've got salted caramel. They're all fantastic. They're delicious. They're good for you. You know, sometimes I like to wake up late and ride the line between, do I want to have breakfast? Do I want to have lunch? And I'll just have a Built Bar and I'm, you know, tied over for a few hours. And you know, I can honestly sometimes even wait till dinner. You know, it's fantastic. It fills you up. It's good for you. They've got 17 to 18 grams of protein, calories ranging from 130 to 180. So go order yours today at built.com. Use promo code LOCKED15. You'll get 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. Now let's look a little bit more at the final games of this series on Saturday. It was supposed to be Jordan Lyles versus the ace. The absolute ace of this Baltimore Orioles team, who, you know, sounds ironic, but he is an actual ace. He's actually a very good pitcher. John Means' start ended up getting pushed all the way to Sunday, where it was Dane Dunning versus John Means, which is honestly the best matchup that these two can give. But it was Jordan Lyles versus Ellis and Marcos Duplan, former Ranger prospect. Also pitched a couple innings in this one. And Dylan Tate ended up getting the save in this one. Chris Ellis is a 29-year-old who this is his second year in the big leagues. Didn't pitch all that much in the big leagues his first year around in Kansas City. Spent time with Tampa Bay this year, literally just one game, but threw 4 scoreless innings. And then Baltimore ended up claiming him on the waiver wire. Been solid, 25 and a third innings this year. 16 strikeouts, so not a big strikeout guy, 2.49 ERA. And, you know, he did fairly well against the Rangers. Like I said, 3 shutout innings. Jordan Lyles did his best, 6 2/3 innings, which was solid work. Didn't walk too many, allowed 7 hits, only 3 earned runs. So technically a quality start. Was able to go deep into this game. Dennis Santana came in and worked a third of an inning. Brett Martin came in and worked a shutout inning in the 8th, but it didn't matter. Because the Rangers just were not able to get offense going early on in this one. They lost 3-2. The only offense came from, there was, of course, the Nathaniel Lowe home run. And there was also a solo home run by Jose Trevino in the 8th inning off of Kriske. Nathaniel Lowe had his 17th home run of the season off of course, Dylan Tate, who got his 3rd save of the season, even though he came in and gave up home run. But, you know, it was enough. The Orioles were leading by 2, gave up 1 run. That's how saves work. Dylan Tate showed a lot of what we talked about in the crossover with Baltimore beforehand. He has sometimes his pitch looks very, very good. That 96-mile-an-hour 2-seamer, it's got a lot of life on it. And other times he just kind of leaves it square in the middle of the plate. Nathaniel Lowe saw it, teed it up, and went off on it. So good on him for doing that. Happy for Dylan Tate. I'm glad he has found a home. Even though seeing his name just fills me with a white hot rage that the Rangers don't have Alex Bregman, it's fine. Eventually I'll get over it. Probably not, but maybe, but probably not. So we'll live with it. But the trends in the last 7 games have been very encouraging right now. In the last 7 games, he has 2 home runs. That is Nathaniel Lowe, by the way. He has 3 walks, 6 strikeouts. That's 27 at bats, hitting .296, on base of .367, slugging .593. That's what I would like. I would like him to slug over .500 for the season. He's got that on base percentage of in the .350s, which right now it's at .356 for the season. His OPS for the season is .770. I want that to be at least .800. It's got to be at least .800. If you're an offense first baseman, you have got to get that to at least .800. That is not a whole lot that I'm asking, I feel like, but apparently it is. It has been encouraging for the last 30 games. It's gotten better. He's still not slugging over 500 for the last 30 games, but the on base is 377 in that time span. He's got four home runs over that time span. I would like to see that be a little bit more, but really I just need the slugging to be over 500. It's 486 over the last 30 games, which is solid, but not where it needs to be. 16 walks in that span of 105 at bats. The walks have never been a question of if they're good or not. He walks very well. He has been better. One of those home runs, I believe, came off of a fastball. So he's been hitting fastball velocity better. He took another pitch, another fastball the opposite way. I believe it was against John Means on the Sunday game. But he's been looking better. I just need to see a little bit more improvement consistently. And eventually he'll get there. He's got the potential to be an everyday starting first baseman. I still reserve the right to hate the trade, even if he ends up being good, because it didn't make sense for this rebuild and where they were. And also they had Ronald Guzman. I know he had been given a lot of time, but he really started to look like he was turning the corner. Didn't end up getting that chance, but, you know, it's fine. We'll live with it. We'll move on. We will survive. But let's look at this Sunday game before we head out for the day. Andy Ibañez got his seventh home run of the season off of John Means. John Means did a pretty decent job working around some hits. He didn't walk anybody, did allow that home run, went five innings, struck out eight Rangers, gave up three runs and seven hits. His ERA for the season is 3.32, which is very impressive given some of the teams that he has to face, especially being a left-hander. Having to go up against Vladdy Jr. that often, having to go up against Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton, and not to mention the entire Boston lineup, not to mention the entire Rays lineup, which, you know, is less feared than the other three I just mentioned. But still, those are the four teams in their division. They're all really good. They are all very close, if not in a postseason spot right now. The three wild card spots are pretty much being fought over between New York and Boston and the Blue Jays. So the Blue Jays and Yankees are playing each other this week. There's going to be a lot of really interesting games going on this week. There's a Dodgers-Padres series that should have been a huge showdown for who is going for which NL wildcard spot. But the Cardinals, running off their insane win streak, eliminated the Padres from playoff contention. Also, every single Padre pitcher getting hurt didn't help. Got a Yu Darvish versus Walker Buehler matchup that basically means nothing at this point, which sucks. That could have been, I mean, it's still probably going to be an incredible game. But the fact that the Padres aren't in the playoffs this year is going to be a real bummer. But anyway, Dane Dunning only allowed one hit in this game, but did allow five walks. I didn't like that he was being so picky around the strike zone. He did strike out five in 4 2/3 innings. The only hit that he allowed was a home run that allowed one of the walks to score. But, you know, I digress. Solid, if that's his last start of the season. I don't think it is. I think he's going to get one more. I don't think he's going to get to go as long as he did. He threw 71 pitches. Only 37 of them were strikes. So just barely over half his pitches were in the strike zone. I'd like that to be better. Joel Cotton had a solid inning in 2/3 of shutout baseball. Dennis Santana, 2/3 of an inning of solid shutout baseball. Spencer Fatten comes in, shutout inning. Colby Allo comes in out of the pen. Not great for him. 2/3 of an inning, made it into a save situation in that ninth inning where Joe Barlow had to come in. Comes in, gets a strikeout, gets his ninth save of the season, and now has a 1.67 ERA on the season. Just, again, fantastic stuff from him. A multi-hit game for Leo Taveras, who sorely needed it. A multi-extra base hit game for Willie Calhoun, had a double off of John Means that is really solid. A triple, his third of the season, off of Fernando Abad. Both of those off of lefties, so very encouraging stuff. Charlie Culberson had his 14th double of the season off of Fernando Abad. Dolis Garcia had his 26th double of the season off of John Means. And like I said, Andy Ibañez, that homer off of John Means in the fourth inning, was his seventh of the season. So solid stuff for them there. Solid stuff for the Rangers. Going to be interesting to see what they do this week. I'm going to miss baseball. I know it's not quite yet. I'm going to miss this Rangers team for some reason. I don't know why. Maybe it's Stockholm Syndrome. It's probably Stockholm Syndrome, but I'm going to miss this team once they're done. This is the last off day of the season for the Rangers. I'm going to try and watch a whole bunch of baseball this week. And obviously, I'm going to soak in every second of this bad Rangers team because, you know, even when baseball is bad, it's still baseball. It's still there. It's still pretty much every day. Football is great. Basketball is great. Hockey is great. All these other sports, soccer, all of them, they're great. But baseball is and always will be my first love of sports. It got me into sports. And this stupid, amazing, wonderful, terrible, no good, very fun, weird baseball team has been a joy to cover this year. And I'm looking forward to these final six games. We'll see what the record holds. I'm sure they're going to get 100. I'm sure I will fire off a bad tweet once they do it. And yeah, let's just enjoy every second of this team. There's a lot of things to look forward to. Definitely some encouraging signs from this year. Maybe not as many as we wanted, but we'll get through there eventually, almost at the finish line. But thank you so much for listening to this episode. I'll be back tomorrow with a special guest to talk about the Angels, who has been on the show before, but it's been quite a while. So thank you for making Locked On Rangers your first listen of the day. And I'm enjoying doing this show, and I will enjoy being back with you tomorrow. So until next time, don't forget to enjoy being.